Welcome back to the Deeper Dive Podcast, produced locally in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., at Sacred Heart Roman Catholic Church in the Plata, Maryland. My name is Bill Winnell, as always, joined by Monsignor Charles Pope. Good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning.
And Father Larry Swink, Father.
Good morning, everybody.
Today, we're going to continue our journey through Matthew. We're in chapter 6, and we'll begin today with verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and decay destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? No one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, he will not much more provide for you, O you of little faith. So do not worry and say, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. Father.
Okay, so right now we're talking about worry, anxiety, love of money, mammon.
It's a series of sayings here that the Lord gives us.
Don't serve two masters. All right, look.
It almost appears he knows us well.
Yeah, so let's, wow, there's a lot here. Where do we start with? All right, first off, let's talk about what is a mammon in a biblical sense, Monsignor? Then we're going to talk about, I guess, in essence, really what do we put our trust in? I think is the essence of this particular gospel. Is it God or is it something else? We say we put our trust in God, but, we want security blankets. So, and then is it wrong to have a security blanket?
All right. The Lord kind of starts out with he's looking more toward our heart than our wallet. Okay, so he starts out with this saying, don't not store up treasures on earth, where moths can rust and destroy, or thieves break in and steal. It says, store up treasures for yourself in heaven. Okay, and then he gives us this important, I think, insight, which is for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So. Question for us to begin with is, where is my treasure? Is it here on earth or is it up in heaven? See? And then I think the honest answer for an awful lot of people has got to be that it's here. It's here on earth. It's very difficult for us to make this transition, out of the world, so to speak, so that we're not all worked up about worldly stuff and worried and anxious, because most of our worry comes because our heart is fixed on things that don't last and that are passing, not on that place where true joys are found and where God and heaven never change. So this is a source of a lot of our trouble. It's in our heart. How to get free of it is another question. But I will say this much, maybe how do we store up treasure in heaven might be another question that we could ask before we try to answer how are we going to get free, of this worldly fixation that we have. So the way we store up treasure in heaven, we don't, do you put it in a balloon and send it up? No, of course not. Is there a rocket ship? No. But there is an old saying, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So how do we store up treasure in heaven is basically we paradoxically we give it away, or we help the poor, we help the needy. And the poor and the needy start with our own household, you know, the way parents take care of their kids and those things too. But the point is that the paradox is that if we want to keep something and store it up in heaven, we give it away, and we become detached from it. So anyway, that's one way we get treasure up in heaven. We still come back then to this whole struggle to get free of the things of this world. And so what we have to do is, I think, first of all, Father, is get on our knees and just say to God, you know, fix my heart. I mean, my heart is wrong. I'm all, you know, anxious about things in this world. I'm all tangled up with this world, and my real treasure really is here. And I, you know, heaven is kind of vague, and, you know, I love you, God, but you're on the list. You're not necessarily at the top. And to go to God and be honest with him about it and ask for a change of heart and let him go to work.
Right. Right. So I think it's good also to address the fact that we want to be secure. That's one of our human tendencies. We want to know that we're going to have food. I think people worry about how to send their kids to college. They worry about their health. They worry about I don't know about clothes per se. I don't. Well, there are some people, I think, that worry about clothes, or they obsess about what they're to wear.
Yes, Lord.
And so it's what's the deeper meaning of, like, all right, do not worry about the clothes and do not worry about the food. I mean, I think we live in a very affluent country, and I personally, I don't think I've ever worried about a meal, you know, in my life. Right. And there are people that do, but for us that have food, what would that mean?
Well, if I could possibly work it backward a little bit, Father, to answer that question, the Lord isn't just saying to us, don't worry. He's telling us how not to worry. And that comes in, I think, two statements really jump out, is that how we're not going to be so worried about things. And the first one is that we should, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
And then on top of that, learning to trust God. Okay. So, I think sometimes when we hear this expression, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, let's try to unpack that for a minute. Seeking the kingdom of God isn't just, you know, like having my, you know, having holy thoughts about heaven, but rather it's building a network of love, reaching out, you know, making commitments, keeping them, staying loyal and faithful to my family, and not just my immediate family, but my extended family, building a kind of a network of love. You know, the entire law, Jesus says, is summed up by love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So at the end of the day, seeking the kingdom of God builds us a kind of a network of love, which is a kind of safety net. That is to say, very often when I deal with the poor, I'm sure you have the same thing. They'll come to me and I say, well, why are you coming here and to me, a stranger? Where's your family? Well, I don't know. They all seem to be in North Carolina. You know, who knows? And the point is that many of the poor who come to our doors at the rectories are alone. They've been disconnected from family and others and so on. So they come and knock on the door of a stranger. Yeah, I know it's a Catholic church, but I mean, you know, there isn't really a knowledge or, you know, a friendship there, that they're just kind of looking for food. So, but I would say that if we are working to build a network of love, that network of love is our safety net, and we don't have to worry quite so much because I have people I can turn to. If for some reason a job is lost and things can't be afforded, I have a lot of people who know me and love me, and I can, they'll help to take care of me. And then on top of that, you know, when I get better and better shape, I'll help them. So I want to sort of take this idea of seeking first the kingdom of God out of the clouds And so on. So it's a real, it's about real everyday choices to build up a network of family and friends who will help to support us, and we help to support them. So, I don't know if that's a good way to get started, Father, but that would be one way to answer the question.
Right. So it's not just seeking the first kingdom of God is not just about prayer and the sacraments is what you're saying. Mm. It's
about everyday life. It's the whole moral vision, love God and love your neighbor, as well as, yes, the sacraments, prayer, you know, all of it. It's the whole thing.
What was it? Was it Saint Ignatius of Loyola, or it might have been Saint Augustine, says that, you know, work as if everything depended upon you, but pray as if everything depended upon God.
Yeah. That's something to that effect. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about worry and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
All right. So, you know, it doesn't help. I mean, I find it doesn't help when, you know, when someone's like full of anxiety, tell them, well, stop worrying about that. God's going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I it's true, but I think, how do you get to that point where you actually surrender to that? And there's a decrease of worry and anxiety. I think one of the things that people struggle with more than ever, I think, in our current culture, which is incredibly affluent, has pretty much everything. Even the poor live better than most of the rich in other countries. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have this incredible anxiety. People fear for their health. They fear for the security of their children. They fear about the country. They're racked with anxiety. What does it mean not to have anxiety? And I think about the saying, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You know, you know, and it's like a virus that zaps us of our ability to live, you know.
Yeah,
so, anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm also mindful of another sort of silly statement. It goes like this: don't tell me worrying doesn't work. Most of the things I worried about never did happen.
I think Winston Churchill said something similar. When I look back at all these worries, I remember the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know,
but I think I think worry is interesting too, isn't it? To think that the more we have, the more worried we are. There is a, you know, you were just painting that picture. We live in this incredibly wealthy kind of culture, where everything's available in lots of variety, and we've never been so, if you will, flush with resources, and yet we've never been so worried. Mm-hmm. Worry is really one of the key words of our culture. The three tallest buildings in Chicago are all insurance companies. You know, I mean, this says a lot about, you know, what we are. So I think part of the paradox in getting out of worry is to have more of our treasure in heaven, less of it here, to be less obsessed with the things of this world. That's a process. It really is. I think part of it is watch less cable television news. Worry. You know, be afraid, be very afraid, tune in at 11 or whatever. It's a very fear-mongering kind of culture that we're in. Where they're always worrying, you know, we're going to worry about this and worry about that and worry, worry, worry. It's clickbait, you know, and this is the kind of thing where I think we often borrow a lot of trouble from tomorrow, to get back to the Lord's statement here. So it's going to be a series of things of kind of unplugging, being a little more careful and discerning about how much of the world we expose ourselves to. But the paradox is that the more we have, the more we worry. So one of the ways not to worry is to have less, to simplify, it doesn't just mean, you know, flush all your money out and throw it away. It just means, that this has to kind of come down as a big priority for us.
And well, that ties into what we really treasure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we treasure something, and, like, you know, even the word treasure means something we consider valuable, something we want to keep locked up, that we want to hold to ourselves, you know, that word, you know, like treasure island, you know, we got this treasure chest, and it's like the fulfillment of all desire in this box, you know, somewhere in this far off island. And, you know, so I guess too, I mean, Could physical health be a treasure that the more you treasure it, the more you're anxious about it?
Yeah. Yeah, look at all the constant anxiety we have about our health today. We've never lived so long and been so healthy, and yet we never worried so much about our health. So,
right.
Oh, you can't eat that. Don't touch that. You know, there's a lot of there's just something odd that happens. The more we get of something, the more anxious we get about losing it. And I think, you know, we just need to ask the Lord really to help us to set less attention on those things. And that's going to take time. But that's part of it, of seeking first the kingdom. Spend more time thinking on God and the things of God and what God is teaching us and saying to us, and a little less about cable TV news or all the kind of stuff that is meant. It just instills a lot of anxiety about things that, frankly, we can't do a whole lot about. Stay closer to family and to the essential things of life, and for you and me to stay close to our parish settings and be a little less, worldly minded, and just, you know, preaching the gospel, doing the basic things that make for seeking the kingdom and building up the kingdom in our life. And little by little, the worries begin to become less. So I think that's going to be part of it. Now, here we go, though, to this next issue. You know, earlier in my life, I had a lot of problem with panic disorder and different things. And I had to do a lot of work on overcoming that. And I knew that fundamentally the answer had to be that I would learn to trust God more. But I was scared because I said, well, God, what if God's up to something I don't want him to be up to? And, you know, I was just cycling out in fear and so on. So anyway, I came to a point where I needed to get some evaluation. So I went to the St. Luke Institute, and the intake priest there, he said to me, why are you here, Charles? And I said, well, I've come to get my life back under control because it's just spun out of control. And I'm just too worried about everything. And, you know, I'd had kind of panic attacks and stuff that frankly deprived me of a pastorate. I had to decline to take up a parish they were asking me to take because I was just too scared. So I told him, I said, I've come to get my life back under control. So he said, well, he took his glasses off. That's never a good sign when the doctor or the therapist takes their glasses off, you know. And he said, Charles, he says, unless you get rid of that idea of control, you'll never be good well again. I said, I want to get my life under control. It's kind of, we think that if we can just get things under control, then we won't be anxious. No, you'll actually be more anxious because you're not going to have, it's an illusion. Control really is an illusion. You might think you have plans for tomorrow, but you they're dependent on things you can't control. The next beat of your heart, or that there isn't some major thing that takes place in the weather, or that somebody you're depending on doesn't, you know, have an emergency. You know, control is something of an illusion. And the more we cling to it and want to claim it, the more anxious we become. And so there's a lot of paradox in getting free of anxiety. And part of it is to admit that I don't have control. And there's something freeing about that. So you might have heard me mention these things before, and we may have done it even in this series. There's five hard truths that'll set you free. And they're hard truths, but there's something calming about simply accepting them. Now, the first one is that life is hard. See, we spend a lot of time wanting life not to be hard. We get all frustrated when it isn't peachy, and, you know, but life is hard. We're living in paradise lost. So life is hard. Number one. Number two, your life isn't just about you and what you want to do. You know, you're part of a bigger picture to God, but also to other people. And so you just don't always get what you want the way you want it. Just doesn't, things don't always go your way. And then number three, you're not that important. That one hurts, man. You're not that important. You know, sometimes other people's situation is more important than yours, you know. And number four, you're not in control. And number five, you're going to die. So, right. Now, I know these sound kind of like negative. You know, your life is hard. You're not. It's not your life isn't about you. You're not that important. You're not in control, and you're going to die. But there's just something freeing about accepting these things, and a lot of anxiety starts to go out of the system when you stop demanding life to be what it isn't.
All right, let's stop there for a moment. I like that point. And
so basically what you're saying is that our Lord is telling us that we need to just accept certain things in our life that don't make sense. Right. I mean, because like people get anxious when things go wrong. Example, people's children have health problems or they run away from the church. That's a problem. Good Catholics have anxiety about that. Are my kids going to get to heaven?
Yeah.
You know, they don't go to sacraments. They're praying every day. And I guess the other thing is what happens when, or you pray for something and it just gets worse, or your physical condition gets worse and worse. I mean, I think this is probably one of the hardest gospels to live.
Yeah.
Which is to surrender to divine providence and to say, well, 100%, I believe that God knows what he's doing, and I'm going to get peace with that and stop worrying about things I have no control over.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and this section is really about divine providence. This might be a difficult question, Monsignor, but could you, in one sentence, define what divine providence is?
Well, divine providence is that it comes from the Latin pro, meaning it can mean like forward, and then videntia, meaning to see. So God sees ahead of time. And God already knows what tomorrow is going to be for us. He's already provided. So the idea is that providence is God's ability to see ahead and make sure that the things are in place that we will need for that moment. Okay. So that's, you know, about as close as I can come to one sentence.
Okay. I like that. So listen to this prayer by Charles de Foucauld. It's called Prayer of Abandonment. Mm. It says, Father. Now, I think the other thing we kind of mixed our Father, but we go back to the fact that we have this heavenly. But in this gospel, it talks about your Father knows what you need. Mm-hmm. You know, the Father loves you more than a bird. I always like that. Like, aren't you more important than a bird? I hope so. but there might be some people in the culture that think birds are more important than humans. You know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll stop. We'll go back. Right. And so it says, Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I could. That's a powerful prayer.
It's scary to pray. Because right. I mean, in some sense, because a lot of us sometimes think, but what if God doesn't want what I want him to want?
You know? Well, that's the essence of anxiety, right? I mean, that's the essence of anxiety. And until we accept his will, we're always going to be anxious.
Yeah. So I think, but you're onto something very important here, though, Father Larry. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Remember earlier in this chapter, we talked about the problem of hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is the sad reduction of a human person to a lonely actor on a stage, desperate for applause. Why? Because they don't know the Father. Right. Well, this is another aspect of not knowing the Father. When we're not really in touch with the Father, and he's a distant figure, he's kind of a stranger up there. What's he up to? And so I think somewhere in all of this, this Jesus says the answer is to get to know the Father and to love him. Now, there's an old gospel song that goes a little bit like this. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony to give. So there's I think I've had to do a lot of this in life. That's really true. If I look back over my life, things have gone pretty well overall. I've had some ups and downs. I've had sudden losses in my family. I'm not saying there weren't shocking and difficult moments and times, but when I look at the whole picture, I start to see what God was up to. And God is he's up to something in my life, and he's been awfully good to me. And this is a source of great consolation, but staying close to the Father, building trust with him, is a very important remedy for anxiety, seeking first the kingdom of God. So in other words, it's not like just sit there and wait for God to do everything. He says, now, look, I want you to be about what I've asked you to be about. You mentioned earlier, Father, about what about a parent like who's anxious about their kids not going to church? They're anxious whether they're going to go to hell or not. Well, I think the solution isn't so much to be anxious, but to be urgent, to take that concern, which is a legitimate concern, and that is an essential task of a parent, isn't it? Right? To say, look, I'm gonna continue to raise this with you until you reform. I don't want you to go to hell, and I care about you. And so there's a certain urgency that a parent develops that's important. But maybe this, we want to distinguish that from being just anxious or worried. Mm-hmm. And that's right there in the wheelhouse of stuff we're supposed to do. I think another tactic of the devil, though, is to get us all worried and anxious about stuff we can't do anything about so that we don't, get about the things that we should be about. We spend an awful lot of time worrying about places all over the world and, getting all worked up about this stuff, all these protests we're hearing recently, with these kids in college protesting something they're not really even all that well aware of the details of. And they're not going to school. They're not doing their work. They're not getting about what they really ought to be about.
They're doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah. So the point is that this is sort of a picture of many of our lives, that we're all flurrying, lots of energy and anxiety is about stuff that's way out of our wheelhouse. So somewhere in all of there, to find out, what does God want me to focus on? Stay there. And if you're feeling a little bit of anxiety, don't be so anxious, but just be urgent about it. God is saying, I do need you to attend to this. Preach the gospel to your children. Even if they're, older now, if they're not going to church, speak to them about it. Pray, fast. This is what you should be about. And but the devil wants us to focus everywhere else except where we should focus. And so try to screen some of that out. Our life becomes a little more manageable if we simplify. You and I have parishes we work in. Our first priority is there. The Lord's given us this ministry here of podcasting and stuff. That's important too. But again, do object quod agis, do what I've asked you to do. Focus on these things and stay in your thing. I sit there before the Blessed Sacrament saying, what's going on with the Pope? And all I get back from is, Carlito, I gave you a parish. I've given you some ability to write and be out there. Just do what I asked you to do, all right? And leave that other thing to me, okay? And so this is, Lord, exhale, not getting all worked up and angry and worried about something I can't do a whole lot about. And maybe spending that energy on stuff I can do a few things about, like teaching and staying orthodox and refuting error, And that's the kind of simplification I think that can remove a lot of worry.
Yeah, I think too, and I don't know, Bill, I don't know if you read this part about do not be anxious about tomorrow. Did we get to that point or no?
Yeah, we finished the chapter.
Yeah, so, I think the other thing too is, anxiety is fear of the unknown, is fear of the future more than of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think our Lord gives us also a very pointed remedy to that. He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient each day is its own trouble. And I think it's like, well, this is where they get the AA thing, one day at a time, mm-hmm. Like, all right, can I do this for 25 more years? Well, maybe not, but you could do it one more day and then it might end up be 25 years, Yeah. I was talking to someone about, I was going through a really, really difficult situation, which I can't go into, but I just told the person was like, I just can't do this for 20 more years. I was like, well, that's not promised. But I said, can you do it one more day? You know, and I've had opportunities in my life, you know, especially with this, you know, sometimes where, you know, chronic pain and stuff like that, where I tell you know, the devil's like, you know, you're gonna do this for 25 more years, and you have to talk yourself out. It's like, I don't know. But I guess the thing is, can you do it one more day? Yeah, probably another day. And I think that's the other way of dealing with situations and anxieties. It's like, we're not promised 25 right. more years, no. right? So you want to say a word about that?
Yeah, we borrow a lot of stuff from the future that we don't even know how it'll be. I know that sometimes we have, let's say we have a big talk to give or something's coming up and we're anxious, but I've discovered that even all the rehearsing of all the possible things that could go wrong is never, if something does go wrong, it's never just the way I thought of it, that it would go wrong. You got to kind of just let it unfold and be in the moment. And, you know, do your best to prepare for what you need to, you know, get ready for. But at the end of the day, we can't possibly know the future. We imagine it and then we worry about it, but it's imaginary. Right. So it's not even real. So somewhere in all of this, we just have to say, well, I'll do what I need to do to prepare for some event or thing that I'm getting ready for. But at the end of the day, I need to focus on today, and then tomorrow may or may not even happen. And if it happens, it may not happen the way I imagine it. And so there's a lot of things I think we have to tell ourselves. But, you know, at the end of the day, and as we kind of, I think the best that we can say about a passage like this is the Lord is saying, look, two things will help you not to worry. First of all, trust your Heavenly Father. He's been awfully good to you so far. He hasn't always given you everything you want, but he has given you what you needed, and he's provided. And further, you should build a safety net, but not of money and assets and things. Fine, but the point is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, build a network of love. Build a network where you really love God and you love your neighbor. Build it up and let people care for you when you need that care, and care for them when they need it. And this, again, we just kind of live locally, stay close to our family, and instead of getting all worked up about things way off to some other side. And we focus, simplify, do the things that are essentially that God has given us to do. A lot of anxiety goes out of the system. I don't say it's trouble-free. It's not anxiety-free. But if I can just stay focused on what I'm supposed to do, an awful lot comes off my shoulders. And trust God. And be that way with seeking first the kingdom. Continue to build up the network of love that God asked you to do. It's the real safety net, not the money.
Yeah. So let's end with a quote from Saint Gianna Mola, and as you know, she died. She had a high risk pregnancy. Her daughter lived. Her baby daughter lived, and went to her canonization, and I'm sure she had a lot of anxiety too. Like, what do I do? You know, mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to die, or my kid's going to die, you know, and she gave it up to the Father. And she said, the secret to happiness is to live moment by moment and to thank God for what he's sending us every day in his goodness. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, to thank God. And all, and St. Paul would say, in all things, give thanks to God in all circumstances. Yeah. You know?
Can you repeat that quote again, Father? I think for the listeners as well.
Yeah. The secret to happiness is to live moment by moment and to thank God for what he is sending us every day in his goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's, and I, even if it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it gets tough. It's like, well, yeah. You know, and I think today's gospel, you know, today, you know, is like some will, you know, those today will be happy, you know, those who, you know, your sorrow will be turned to joy, but today you're you will mourn now.
Yeah. Right.
And so anyhow. All right. Well, folks, don't be anxious.
And again, it's a process to get out of it, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, snap your fingers and this is the way it works. But, you know, simplifying and moving toward building that network of love and support, You know, the most important things in life aren't things. It's people. It's the people we love. And they're there for us. You're not alone. And but we have to build that network. And so I think the Lord gives those two things to us. And it's not a bad recipe to be less anxious, you know?
Yeah. Amen. All right. Can we get your blessing, Monsignor?
Yes. May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.